Today we're going to have a message on a Savior is born. It comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. God, we love and we thank you for this opportunity. We know that this is what we here on earth call the Christmas season. But the reality is, it's the time of the arrival of your Son. As he left eternity to step into time to become our Savior. He was not born in a mansion, but in a lowly stable with two poor saved folk. Oh, but he was the King of the world. And we celebrate his birth because it was because he came in the form of man that he was able to die in our behalf, pay for our sins, rise from the dead, and thus be our Savior. So we just thank you, God, that we can spend this time today reminiscing about a Savior being born. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was an old TV show. Some of you may remember it. It was called The A-Team, and they had B.A., Mr. T, who had the funny little mohawk or whatever you call that, but that was the leader, and he had this saying he would come up with: I love it when a plan comes together. I love it when a plan comes together. In our Bibles, we have discovered that God had a plan before the foundation of the world. His plan, because he knew that man would fall, was to reconcile man unto himself. He was not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The problem is that man could not save himself. So God had to step out of eternity into time with a perfect man. And the only perfect man he could come up with was his Son, his precious Son, in whom he loved. And therefore, in a little town called Bethlehem, whether it was December or April or whatever day it was, it doesn't matter. God lives in eternity. A Savior was born in a manger. The Bible says, as God's angel was talking to Mary and Joseph in two different times and places, that his name would be Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And the angel told Mary that he would be a Savior. And so today we look in Luke chapter 2 to look at God's perfect plan that a Savior is announced as being born. A special child was born in the town of Bethlehem in fulfillment of Scripture to a young Nazarite mother named Mary. The baby was the promised Savior that was sent from God. And as promised to both Mary and Joseph on that quiet night in Bethlehem in an animal shelter, a Savior was born. But not just born, but in order to save us from our sin. There was a need. Although God, because he's holy, he had to banish Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. They couldn't stay. He didn't leave them, though, without hope of reconciliation. For he saw to it that he would promise them a savior who would defeat the serpent in Genesis 3 and 15. Until then, men would find themselves sacrificing innocent lambs to show their repentance from sin and faith in the future sacrifice of the Messiah, the one who would bear their penalty. You know, the penalty for sin is death. The penalty for sin is death, according to Romans 6 and 23. And over the centuries, over the time, over the years, God reaffirmed his promise of the sacrifice. He reaffirmed it with Abraham, with Moses. Herein lies the beauty of God's perfect plan. God himself would provide the only sacrifice, Jesus, who would atone for the sins of his people. God's perfect son will fulfill God's perfect requirement for his perfect law. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, who was Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, we all know Christmas is a time for being with family. Amen. Christmas is a time for giving gifts. Amen. We have fun being around family, don't we? I went into Target yesterday to look at some Christmas cards. And because Target's mentality is a little bland with regards to godly things, not one of their Christmas cards had anything to do with Jesus. Not a one. And I kept looking just to see if I could find one. There was none. All about Christmas and Santa Claus and all that stuff. Today we live in a world where Jesus is pushed to the side. It's a money-making scheme for some people. But we do enjoy it. It's a good time. We enjoy the time that some of us can get off for a day, some of us for a couple of weeks. But it's a good time. For me, it's a time that I remember that when we had shut down, that my mom, I got word that she had died. And as soon as I got home from shutdown. So Christmas is a time that I don't really look forward to from that standpoint, because I remember after the funeral, I preached her eulogy. I looked at my dad, and his wife was gone. And you could see the loneliness that was on his face. So we look to the real reason for Christmas, which is the birth of the Savior. Not our situations. Some people are lonely. Some people feel alone. Some people don't have family. Those are circumstances. But there's one thing we know for sure, that a Savior was born. And if we can concentrate on that, then we can find a way and a time to worship him, because he was born. And God has reaffirmed his promise with that. So, how in the world is God going to get this family to Bethlehem, 90 miles away from Nazareth, at just the right time for Mary to give birth to his son Jesus, and thus fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies? God shows his power, because he had power over a pagan ruler. In fact, the emperor of the world. God rules the world. God rules those who think they run the world. They do his bidding. The decree came from Caesar Augustus, better known as Octavian. He ruled from 27 BC to 14 AD, and there was a governor of Syria, Quirinius, and he was the one who put it in place that all of the people had to go back home in order to register for the census so they have all the names so they could be taxed. Do you think that he came up with that idea by himself? I think not. I think God, who rules the world, spoke in his ear. You see, God can use even unsaved, pagan, godless folk to do what he wants. Ones that worship other gods just to get what he needs accomplished. You see, God has a perfect plan. And like they said on the A-team, he loves it when a plan comes together because he is in charge. He can move the hearts of kings. He can do whatever he needs to do to get his purpose accomplished so that a Savior is born. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Our message is a Savior is born. Our passage today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Our first point has no scripture to it. God's promise is fulfilled. God's promise is fulfilled. There will be scripture, but I'm not putting it against that point. God's plan was perfect. Verses 1 through 3 of Luke chapter 2. God's plan was perfect. Point 3, God prepared the right place. God's prepared the right place. Verses 4 through 5. Point number 4, God's prepared the right people. Verses 6 and 7. And the fifth and the last point, God proclaimed his son's birth. Verses 8 through 14. Which takes us to our first point. God's promise is fulfilled. God is not a man that he should lie. He gave promises from the time of Adam and Eve. He's kept them since today. He'll keep them tomorrow. For Jesus will return again, but not as a little cuddly baby, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Push old Satan aside. God rules the world to accomplish his plans. God's promise is fulfilled. The birth of the Lord Jesus was the completion of God's plan that had been promised in the Old Testament before the foundations of the world. Isaiah 7:14, it says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." Talking about the Messiah. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Now, there is no way that a person in those times could have in vitro fertilization. So the only way you could get pregnant was with a man. But God said, "No, no, no. I'm God. I do what I need to do in order for my plan to be fulfilled." See, if a man impregnates this woman, it's going to be the same problem. For Adam brought sin into this world. And if that were to take place, the baby that she would bear will not be able to be a savior because somebody would have to save the child. So no, there's going to be a miracle, and I happen to be able to do the miracles as I see fit in order to fulfill my perfect plan. So as you saw on the screen earlier, the Holy Spirit, as the angel explained to her, would come over her, and the child that would be growing in her would be the Savior. God took care of that. No problem. He's God. God rules the world to accomplish his plans. So that takes us to Isaiah 9 and verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." None of those could apply to a mere man. I don't care what politician, what king, don't care. None of them could hold them titles. None of them. I don't care who it is. None but the Son of God. And where would he be born? Bible tells us in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." King James has ancient. Now, can't be talking about David. See, David lived around 1000 BC. Micah, who wrote that prophecy through the power of the Holy Spirit, he lived around 630 to 760 BC. That's about 285 years from the time that David lived. So he won't talk about David. David had died. He was talking about the coming Savior. But you see, God rules the world. And in order to fulfill his promise, to accomplish his plan, he'll do what he needs to do. Point number one, God's promise is fulfilled because a Savior was born. Which takes us to point number two. God's plan was perfect. God's plan was perfect. Verses 1 through 3. God had promised that according to Micah 5, 2, that Jesus, the Savior, would be born in Bethlehem. God used a pagan emperor, Caesar Augustus, Octavius, in order to get Mary and Joseph to the right place at the right time. God's timing is always perfect. God rules the world. Notice that God also rules the lives of individuals, no matter who they are. God has been working things out in the world through what some would call the providence of God. You remember Daniel, and he explained how this statue represented the various kingdoms of the world. Remember that? And one of those kingdoms would end up being Rome. In fact, when Alexander the Great found out as he conquered the world that a passage had been written about him in Daniel, that he was going to have an empire, a world empire, he was like, I must be somebody. because God's thinking about me. No, that's not that God was thinking about you. It's that God rules the world. And he used Alexander the Great to do what? To bring the Greek language into the world. What do you think the New Testament was written in? Thank you. God rules the world. But then he needed the Romans to come. What were the Romans going to do? They were going to bring peace into the world. They did it a harsh way, but the roads became safe to travel on because of the Roman Empire. And they took over this land, this Palestine, if you will. But everybody could live in some kind of peace under one government that had the same language. So that one day when Jesus was crucified on the cross and rose from the dead and the church began, when they became persecuted and had to leave Jerusalem, they all spoke the same language. They all were able to travel safely on the roads, and thus the gospel was spread throughout the world, just as Jesus said you are going to do, from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost regions of the world. God plans things for a purpose. He was working things out. He, in his providence, he can influence the world. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So this sovereign, divine superintendence of all things in his purview, God uses them to accomplish his plan. This divine, sovereign, and benevolent control by God to accomplish his plans is the reason that his plan was perfect. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now he's thinking of dollar signs. That ain't what God's thinking. Verse 3. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. Verse 3. And verse 3 says, so went all to be registered, and everyone to his own city. Now, where do you think that Joseph used to live? Where do you think he was born? In Bethlehem, 90 miles away from where he was living now, with a pregnant wife who wasn't fit to travel, to go 90 miles. Would you want to travel 90 miles on a donkey, my dear sisters, in the ninth month, on a little old bumpy donkey, buckling back and forth, and you having all them things that you have when you're pregnant? I know you're not thinking of taking me down to Bethlehem. Don't you know how pregnant I am? Wait a minute. Sorry, Mary. See, God's in control. He's going to get you there whether you thought you were going there or not. Because he promised that his son was going to be born in Bethlehem. Therefore, this census that's going to be taken is going to take you down to Bethlehem so you can fulfill my promise. Which takes us to our third point. God prepared the right place. Verses 4-5. I want you to notice that God also rules over history. You might remember some time ago that we preached about a family that had moved from Bethlehem into Moab, and that the father and the two sons died. And Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi ended up going back to Bethlehem, where they should have stayed the whole time, because that was the family that was going to bring forth this family, Joseph. All right? Bethlehem was the right place. And so he worked through history to make that happen. So how was Mary to deliver in Bethlehem when she lived in Nazareth and being very pregnant? Look at verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth because of this decree. Where did he go? Into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. He had to go. When the government tells you you got to go, guess what? You got to go. Verse 5. To be registered with Mary. No, baby, you can't stay in Nazareth. We got to go, baby. His betrothed wife, who was with child. His betrothed wife, who was with child. 90-mile trip, pregnant. And then when they got there, there was no room. I knew we should have stayed in. Now, some people might have thought that the innkeeper was wicked. Not true. Keeping Jesus from having a room. Inns weren't very big. Bethlehem was known as the place where the sacrificial lambs were born under the whole time of that period. They would provide the sacrificial lambs for the temple. So that was basically their main industry. They had some visitors, but that was their main industry. And now that this decree had happened, can you imagine how many people living that time used to live in Bethlehem and moved out because they were tired of being around all them sheep? Now they got to come back. It was a busy place. It was a busy time. He Caesar had decreed that everyone should go to their own hometown and register for taxes. What a grand idea. But because people had to travel, the inns would have been very busy. The people would have been busy. There was no room at such a busy time. You ever been someplace and they don't have a room for you? There was no room. There was no room in the inn. But listen, that's no biggie for God. Did you know that he planned that? Bro, Case, really? God planned that? Let me see. Yeah, he planned it that way. He said, I think so. God planned for Jesus to be born in a stable. Oh, come on now. Well, did he plan for him to be born in a mansion? Nope. God planned for Jesus to be laid in a manger. Really? Not in a bed. God planned for him to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. I want you to hear what I just said. He was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Keep those words in your mind. All of this made him easy to be found by the shepherds who would visit. Didn't have to go house to house in the inn, because the angels told the shepherds where they would find this child. Didn't the angels tell them? What did they say? You will find him where? In a manger. What was he going to be doing? He was going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was going to be in a barn. All them people, how they going to find this baby? Oh, God just told them where to put it. Which takes us to our fourth point. God prepared the right people. I mean, he goes through a lot of stuff just to get his son born in the right place because it was a perfect plan for him. Here in our fourth point, God prepared the right people. He prepared the right people. Verses 6 and 7. God's greatest gift was his son. His greatest gift to man was his son. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." God gave us his son. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And why? John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Didn't he just tell us that in Isaiah 9? "That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Didn't the angel tell Mary that he would be a savior? Didn't he tell angel tell Joseph that his name would be Jesus because he was going to do what? Remember what he said? He's going to be our savior. He's going to save people from their sins. See, this required God to step in time in order to accomplish this out of eternity into time to bring about this supernatural miracle, the birth of his savior that was for all people. The angel Gabriel was sent to deliver the news of God's arrangements to deliver his son into humanity as Jesus, the God-man, God with us, the Messiah. God's plan was to use godly people, the right people, Mary and Joseph. They were his servants. They were chosen to deliver this gift from God to men through the birth of Jesus to bring Emmanuel, God with us, into this world. It was the right people that God chose, Mary and Joseph. They were saved people. They were people who were obedient to the Father by faith, not compulsion. Notice that God rules over the lives of individuals as well as he rules over the world. He can rule over history. He can rule over the lives of individuals. If you ever thought you are nobody, if you ever thought that, why did God make me? If you ever thought, well, who am I? What am I going to do? Did you know that God can choose anybody he wants to do whatever he needs? I mean, there was that rascal, Judas. He won't no good in people's minds. Did God use him? Yes, because Satan entered into him, and he saw fit to get sure that Jesus would be arrested. You mean he used Judas, that rascal? Yep. And he can use any one of us to do whatever he needs to get his perfect plan accomplished in bringing a Savior into the world. God rules over the lives of individuals by faith. When Mary got the news that she was going to bear the Son of God, as she was told, she accepted her duty as mother to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary, this is what she said in Luke 1. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Talking about herself. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her, mission accomplished. She didn't say no. She, by faith, said, I'll do it. God chooses the right people. And what about Joseph? He found out that she was pregnant. Joseph was a man of honor, great character. But he loved her, and so he was going to put her away privately. For he did not want the stain on him of being accused of getting Mary pregnant when they weren't married, or if she had been with somebody else. He was upset. He could have bowed out to him. Hey, no, I'm not into that. But by faith, when the angel visited him and he had that dream and he understood the purpose of it all, God's perfect plan, by faith, Joseph accepted his role. What was his role? To be the guardian of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would have been a helpless little baby. Oh, we saw Jesus walk on the water in the Bible. But what was he going to do as a little tyke in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes? We know that later on when he was about 2 years old and Herod figured out that somebody had called himself king. Did you know he wiped out all the children two and under in Bethlehem? He killed them all. All those male children, he killed them all. It was a dangerous time. Jesus needed a guardian, a man, to take care of this boy. A man to teach him the word of God. A man to make sure their mama and baby were okay. And when the angel, after they had been given these gifts to Jesus, the gold, the silver, the myrrh, frankincense, all very expensive stuff that he got from the Magi who came and gave Jesus those gifts. Did he put it in the bank? Wait a minute, nope. An angel came and said, hold up, get up, Joseph, you got to go. Herod's looking for all the boys. You got to get out of here. Give up everything you got right now. Leave. For 2 years they lived in Egypt. I wonder what income they used to pay for that. The gifts of gold and silver and frankincense. And how do I know it was used for that? Because when the eighth day came, when Jesus was to be, you know, circumcised, they paid two pigeons, which was what you pay for a sacrifice when you're poor. They didn't keep that money. They used it to keep Jesus safe. They didn't keep all those treasures. They used it to keep Jesus safe. God chose the right people, not greedy folk. They gave all they had to make sure that the Son of God stayed safe. God chooses the right people. Point number four, God's prepared the right people. God has prepared the right people. You might not know what your role is in life, but if God chose you, he chose you to do what he needs to do in your life so that you can serve him. So don't forget, though one may feel that I'm not worthy of anything, don't forget whose child you are. God loved his child. He took care of his child. You're his child. Guess what? He's going to take care of you. Which brings us to point number five. God's proclaiming his son's birth. He announced it. Oh, it was a mystery for all time. But he knew it all along. It wasn't no mystery to him. It was no secret to him. For in his perfect plan, he made everything count to get to this point. And now he's announcing it to the world. Verses 8 through 14. Glory to God in the highest. God used his angels to announce the arrival of the promised Messiah, the Holy One, his son, who would be the Savior of the world. Let's look at verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, keep in mind that the shepherds in that society were considered on the low end of the important pole. Okay. The religious folks considered them unclean because they didn't wash their hands the right way, because they were too busy shepherding the sheep for the temple. Verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Stood means he's on the ground. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. That means it's one angel, but there's light around the shepherds. And they were greatly afraid. They didn't have flashlights back in those days. They didn't have those 1995 lights that can shine brightly and light up a whole world. They didn't have that. This was scary to them. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which will be to all people. Listen, this is about 400 years or so of silence between the time of Christ's birth and Malachi. God said nothing that we can see. There were no major prophets or minor prophets who gave the word. God was silent. There was no prophecy given. The Romans had now come and taken over the place that they lived. They were now under Roman rule. They hated it. They despised it. We keep being taken over by all these nations, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. Where are you, God? Where's your promised Messiah? We want him to come now so he can beat these Romans. We're tired of them. We want to be free. Where's the Messiah? All they hear is crickets. The word of God is not spoken to them. For 400 years, God is silent to them. Oh, he's not silent, but they felt silence. Where is God? Where is the Messiah? 400 years. Oh, but now there's an announcement to be made. Look at verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, according to the prophecies of Micah 5 and 2, a Savior who is who? Christ. The Lord, the Messiah, the anointed one they've been looking for 400 years. The one that Abraham knew about, the one that Moses knew about. He's been what? Born to you. Look at verse 12. And this will be a sign to you. You will have to go find and knock on all the doors in Bethlehem. It might take you all night, because we don't know exactly where he is. They couldn't get a reservation over the phone. So, but he's there somewhere. Is that what they said? You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Where's a manger? In a stable. God's perfect plan. Man, no. Look at verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. And what were they doing? They were praising God. They said, "Woo! Finally, we've been waiting with you, God. We didn't know when you're going to do it. You didn't tell us. And now we get to announce it to the man." They were praising God because they were looking for when Jesus would come on the scene to be the Savior of man. They were all in. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, because this Jesus was going to be the Savior of the world. Now, I told you they made it easy to find this baby lying in a manger in a barn that would have been hard to find if he was in a room, enjoying all the amenities and the nice white pillows and towels. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth towards men. God sent his messengers, the angels, to the shepherds who will then look at the baby. And they found him, and then they spread the word. The shepherds heard, and they believed. They believed, and they came to search him out. And when they found him, they saw him. And when seeing him, they shared with everybody they could find that the Savior had come. And as they left going back to their job, they just praised God. There was praise all around for this great announcement. And what was the announcement? That the Savior had been born. You know, God loved us before we were even born. God had this plan before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells us that God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's perfect plan was to redeem us. And he made that plan before the foundation of the world, but to receive this gift from God, one must believe that special promised one, Jesus, as their personal Savior. Question: have you and I believed? Have we received his gift? You got to trust Christ as Savior to do that. Confessing our sins and trusting in him and his perfect work. What was his perfect work? To die on the cross to provide us with salvation. For Jesus paid it all. I thank God that a Savior was born. Now, I hope you have an enjoyable holiday season, as the world would say. Holiday season. I'm going to say Christmas. Spend time with your family. Enjoy them. My dad was not able to enjoy Christmas with his wife back in 1996. Oh, but if you know Jesus, then you know that your wife is in heaven, because a Savior was born. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for having him born in the right place at the right time with the right people, so that he could be there on the cross one day and say, "It is finished." Give up his spirit, commit it to God, and then rise on the third day to prove without a shadow of doubt that all of our sins were paid for. Oh, and that if we would just trust that our sins have been paid for and confess our sins and trust in him for salvation, that we could be saved. We thank you, God, for giving us this child. A Savior was born. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.